fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today, really finish up a theme I've been talking about this whole week, about trial and suffering in the midst of the chaos that the world seems to be living through. There's a kind of storm that has gathered, and we see things almost daily now that shake us kind of at our foundation. And I think it's important for us to see what's going on in the midst of it. And not only what's going on, as I talked about this whole week, really the devil's strategy, because really foundationally, friends, what we're in the midst of is a spiritual battle between the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Christ our Lord, and the kingdom of Satan. We shouldn't be surprised, as St. Peter says, about the fiery ordeal which comes upon us. God permits it to happen. It's the result ultimately of demonic strategies, but human hearts that have turned away from God, that are insisting on their own wisdom and their own resources, and loving and admiring their own goodness or their own perfect plan for other people and for the world, and acting upon that apart from God, the revelation of Christ, and it leads to the kind of chaos and confusion that we're experiencing. As I was preparing for the program today, I was thinking about some of the key passages we've talked about all week long and been just kind of praying through them, thinking about them, because there's so much wisdom that we receive from the apostles on how to live through trial and difficulty. I mean, we know clearly that the apostles all suffered great trial and difficulty. Most of them were martyred, I think all but one, right? So they knew what they were heading into. Jesus told them. Jesus said, the world will hate you because it hated me first. You're going to suffer for the gospel. That was very clear. So when it happened, they were not surprised. They didn't lose heart. Peter and Paul and others would constantly say, don't lose heart. This suffering, which may seem meaningless, this trial, which is so difficult, and again, may seem meaningless to you, you are in God's hands, and you're walking the footsteps to Calvary, following Jesus, your master. Jesus was, remember, Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with much grief. He was despised. He was rejected by men. He was despised and rejected. So that's what the apostles ended up experiencing. They were despised. They were rejected. And Christ's suffering was redemptive. It saved the world. His suffering, his passion, death, and resurrection was really the pathway to victory over the domination of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus broke the powers that dominate the human heart by passing through the devil's great strategy that leads people to slavery, to turn away from God, fear of suffering, fear of death, fear of meaninglessness, fear of all these things that grip the human heart when we feel alone and isolated and afraid. Jesus said, how many times, be not afraid? How many times does the scripture say, be not afraid, be not afraid? And those are nice words when we're comfortable and we hear them and we kind of are encouraged by them. But friends, right now, when we're living through a destabilizing period, when there's clear trial and difficulty, and it's no... pretty much everybody has a feeling like things are going to get worse for a period of time. How are you going to live through that? What's your strategy? Are you going to lean into the Word of God? This is your moment in history. Friends, we're all put on this earth for a very short period of time. The Scripture says, life is short. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. Each one of us, we're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. We're all going to die. We're going to die soon. That's not depressing. It's just a fact. As a Christian, it certainly isn't depressing at all, because I know I'm passing through this short life. And by God's mercy, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the help of the church and the grace, I'm going to enter the kingdom of glory. That's my home. That's where freedom is. That's where my life can reach its ultimate purpose and meaning and complete fulfillment. When that's our perspective, that's our horizon, the words of Jesus, "Be not afraid," make a whole lot more sense. What did Saint Therese or Teresa, I can't remember which one, said? The suffering and trials on earth that just seem so difficult, that seems so fleeting, or they never go away. She said, we're going to see when we enter into the glory of the Lord that all of the cumulative suffering that we ever had was like one night in a bad hotel. The apostles, they made it to the end because they set their sights on the glory that was set before them, not the trial that was spinning around them. They knew they would have to pass through trial. And Paul describes it as a slight momentary affliction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we do not lose heart. He said, so we do not lose heart. Why? Because we know who we are. We know where we're going. We know that in this world, we're going to suffer trials and difficulties, that we might even end up losing our lives. And it doesn't surprise us. Why? Because we know the world is sick and the world is broken. And there's forces in this world that literally are set against the Lord and his anointed. It's revealing when it's a kind of revelation of where we are in our relationship with God when in the midst of trial and chaos, how we respond. Our response is a revelation. Where's my heart? Am I getting angry? And I'm being filled with, am I getting edgy and filled with anxiety? Am I bitter about where things are? Am I closed in on myself? Am I hoarding? Or am I escaping and seeking pleasure in excess of things, whatever it is? Am I isolating myself? Am I complaining all day long about leaders and about church leaders and everyone else? Am I living in the Word of God? Am I walking in the footsteps of Jesus? Am I seeking to love my neighbor, to will my neighbor's good? Am I a source of light and peace and hope? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's coming out of my mouth? Anger, cursing, gossip, blame. Am I a source of mercy? Am I a source of forgiveness? Do I have the wisdom and peace in my own heart to not project my anger and rage on leaders and other people in a way that puts full blame on them? Yeah, they carry some of the blame, no doubt about it. But the politician I'm most angry at today is not my enemy. There's not a human being in the world that's my enemy. My enemy is Satan and all the dark spirits that are enslaved to him that are set against me and set against everyone else. God wants us to have mercy in our heart, in our hearts, toward understanding and understanding that everybody's in this battle, and some people don't know it, and some people are deeply, deeply enslaved in it because of their own pride, their own sin, lust, whatever it is that's at work in them. And God wants us to have a merciful heart, not to accommodate unrighteousness, not to poo-poo immorality, not to pretend it doesn't matter. That's not what I mean. But to have a heart of Jesus, to not hate people, to not be angry at people in a way that is unrighteous, where I let the sun go down on my anger and I go to bed angry and I wake up angry. And I don't want to let go of my anger. I don't want to be reconciled. I don't want to love my neighbor. I don't want to love people who hate me. This is Jesus' call. Guess what? None of us can do it on our own power. But that's what we're called to do right here, right now. And Jesus wants to do it in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. So how should we then live? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. I can't tell you how important that is. It is so important that everybody come to terms with that question. How do you answer the question, am I seeking God first? Do I really want God above all things? If that's what I want, if that's what I'm seeking, I'm crying out to God with all honesty, God, show yourself to me. I beg you, Lord, open my heart to you. Dispel the light and darkness of my mind and heart. I want to follow you. I want to be Jesus' disciple. I want to live in the short time that you've given to me on earth as his disciple, and I want to help be a light, and I want to build your kingdom. And I cannot do it on my own power. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my selfishness, my self-importance, my conceit, my anger, my bitterness, my envy, my jealousy, my lust, my rage, my unforgiveness, whatever's there. Put it at the feet of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for the idols that I've raised in my life, the worship of money, the worship of possessions, of titles and honor and wealth and power, all these things that I seek so dramatically in my own life. Lord, forgive me for making myself the center of the universe. Forgive me, Lord, for minimizing the value of human dignity. The real gold in this world, friends, Jesus has already shown it to us. What do I mean? The Son of God left heaven. The Son of God came to save human beings. He didn't come to save Hollywood, to save Wall Street, to save Vegas, to save whatever people in this world seem to value so much. He came to save human beings. Because it's human beings who God the Father has made to become his children. God the Father loves us, and he sent his Son to prove that love and to show that love by saving us, making a pathway for us. Friends, someday, and it may be soon, it may be today, it may be 20 years from now, your friends are going to be standing at your funeral as your casket gets lowered into the ground and dirt gets thrown on your casket. Your time is up. So they put your stone in place, and you look around, they're all over in the cemetery. The one question is, not how much money did he make? How famous was he? But the only question that matters is, did you find God? The purpose for which you were made. You were not made to be the biggest, the best, the strongest, the richest, the sexiest, the most powerful. You were meant to be God's child. Do you see the difference in the energy of the world and its striving after foolish things that mean absolutely nothing? And the things that matter most, they forget or despise. Friend, ask yourself that question. Am I ready to die? Am I ready to meet the Lord? Is my life directed to him and to his glory? God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.